Hello, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official gaming slash time-wasting semi-contrarian but not about movies podcast of DVDverdict.com. This is episode 99, a very special Divisible by 11 edition. And we would also like to pay homage to the great one. I'm not talking about Wayne Gretzky, I'm talking about John Mercer.
Wow, I'm great.
Great at getting us into trouble.
Great swordsman who ever lived.
Nice. There's your Willow reference, Dave. I can't believe we're on episode 99. That's kind of crazy.
I know, it just seems like... It seems like only yesterday you said, we're starting a podcast. And I said, that's the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever heard.
It seems like only yesterday that we recorded episode 98.
That wasn't yesterday?
That was like a week ago. Wow.
If I drank this week.
About as much as me. We're going to kick things off with a look at what the latest and greatest news to hit all of our favorite, you know, video game blog sites over the past so many days. We don't really keep track a whole lot. We just look for news and stories that look interesting. Looks like stuff we can riff on, you know. So,
things to get the nerd's blood boiling.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Of course, the big news this week. We take you live to the front lines. Crisis on PSN. Jack Bastard Ass Kicker. What have you got for us, Jack? Well, it's not actually Jack, it's still just me. But the PlayStation Store will be back by Friday. Hooray!
Woo!
Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
You can now use fake money to buy fake things in a virtual world. On your PlayStations. Much like you have been doing on your Xboxes and your Wiis.
But now the other store is open.
But now, yeah, the other store is back, which is great. So, you know, hey, great, awesome, fantastic. Maybe now we can actually get some updates and, you know, all that stuff that all us PlayStation hardcore guys have been missing out on that, oddly enough, no one really seems to care very much about.
No.
You know, like Fallout New Vegas DLC and all that sort of thing. About the only real complaint I've been hearing is that people really kind of wanted those bonus cases that came with L.A. Noir.
I can understand.
I can as well.
L.A. Noir, so I can get my hands on.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Fallout, well, we were kind of speaking of Fallout, I guess, in a sort of offside kind of way. Fallout Online looks highly doubtful as Interplay collapses again.
Collapses?
Like, they apparently, according to some internal memo that was circulated today, they have $3,000 in their bank account.
$3,000. Dude, I'm worth more than Interplay.
Why don't you go buy it, John, and save Fallout Online? Imagine all the geek fanboy love.
Actually, no, I might not have $3,000, considering I just spent a little chunk of change on my beautiful Wacom tablet.
In other news, John bought a beautiful Wacom tablet. I bought a new couch. Hey!
In other news, John is not opening a DeviantArt site.
I would hope not.
I've got my Facebooks for that now.
There you go. David O. Russell quits Uncharted. The cinematic abomination that is David O. Russell's Uncharted, starring Mark Wahlberg as probably like Norman Drake because Nathan sounds too ethnic or something. You know, too white.
No, it doesn't sound Indian.
Yeah.
You gotta get some indie cred in there. His name would be like Isosceles.
I think the plot was something like a Native American Nathan Drake, who was adopted and raised by Navajo trackers, goes off and hunts for buried treasure with his uncle Joe Pesci and his dad Robert De Niro. And something about art dealers and museums and heads of state. Because it sounds exactly like Uncharted, the video game, to me. I'm just, you know. Good riddance, David O. Russell. I'm thinking what happened was you turned in your first draft of your screenplay, and the guys at Naughty Dog kind of looked at it and went, excuse me, really? And just basically left it at that.
Amy, this really isn't worth a bag of cocaine.
Yeah, no. This is definitely not worth the £50 of uncut Bolivian flake that we promised you. PS Vita. Sony brand mineral water? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh man, it's a natural health supplement for the gym.
It sounds like a cracker I would buy in the imported food section of my local supermarket.
Or like one of those trendy vitamin waters you get at the gas station.
Yeah, or something like you get in a cooler.
You said something trendy you get at the gas station.
Something trendy you get at the gas station.
It's like that egg sandwich you bought at the gas station.
Seriously, I mean, what was wrong with... what I would have done, I would have taken... Okay, everybody says PSP2. Okay, I would have taken PSP and combined that with NGP, so you had the Sony PSP NGP. Double acronyms for the win. Brilliant. Why isn't anybody paying me money for this shit?
Because they'd rather pay David O. Wilson than Bolivian Flake.
I guess, yeah. It must be easier to get coke than it is to get cash. Hugsy, get the hell away from my microphone cord. My cat's trying to eat my microphone. I'm going to flick a stuffed bunny at her. Go away. In other news, SmackDown vs. Raw is dead. Long live WWE 12. Completely forgettable, non-distinct, and rather blah moniker, I think. Opinion?
Well, you know, I haven't really been... watching wrestling much lately.
Does wrestling even still come on TV?
Yeah, it does, but I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's really not worth watching.
I think they should have called it, like, Macho Manapalooza or something. In honor of our fallen hero.
That's right.
Where has he been the last 15 years, anyway? In an institution, wasn't it? Isn't that what we said?
Yeah, I think so.
Since Spider-Man? He got his Spider-Man money, he went crazy, and they locked him up? Oh, yeah. Thursday night is bingo. Yeah. That could be. But either way, you know, SmackDown versus Raw.
Dear Mads, Mr. Savage, thank you very much, Liz.
The yellow pill makes me feel funny.
Nothing means nothing.
Oh, God. But yeah, RIP, Mr. Macho Man. You know, you were always good for a laugh.
But, I'm going to, you know, try to hold my, being the indignant bastard until I see a little more footage of the new engine they're calling.
Yeah, so it's a new fighting engine, a new graphic engine and stuff, so hopefully...
It said, you know, hey, this time we're finally going to listen to what the fans have been clamoring for since 2004, I think.
So they're basically not going to just repackage the same game again with some added features.
Exactly.
Well, you know, hey.
Roster updates just haven't been caught in it.
Well, that's good. That's good. All five people on the planet who don't own a DS Lite, now could be your time because it has reached that magical below $100 price mark. Actually, technically, I think it's this time next week you can get it for $99.
Hey, I'd do it.
I would, but, you know, it's a DS. And I'm not, you know, an 8-year-old girl.
How many DS Lites do you have in your house?
Too many. I have women in my house, Jan. Well, women and girls. You know, young girls and women. And that's pretty much the target market right there for the DS, I think. And if you deny that, if you're a male in your late 20s or early 30s and you own a DS or a DS Lite, take a long hard look in the mirror there, buddy. Yes, Adam, that means you.
Instead, you should buy, you know, Sony's new brand of cracker.
That's right. You should buy, you know, the...
Wafer Thin Vita.
Vita. I don't know.
Sounds like a character from Doom.
He who controls the Vita controls the universe. I don't know. It could go either way. It is a very crazy, bizarre title, and I can already picture Sony's typically idiosyncratic Japanese marketing campaign. Vita means life, and the new PlayStation Portable brings life to the handheld market, or something like that, you know?
Comes over to North America. Kevin will fix all that for us.
He will, yeah. That's if he's still around by then.
PlayStation Vita? More like PlayStation Fighter. You know, some sort of montage of him getting punched in the face at the you're the best around.
There we go. Last and certainly not least, Activision dropped their bombshell in the form of Call of Duty Elite, which is a paid subscription-based, essentially community portal. It's like web-based, and you can access it on your iPod or your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPad, your internet-connected gizmo. It's basically a whole crap load of community-based shenanigans. You get your matchmaking, and you get your, you know, your social groups and your connection to YouTube and Twitter, so you can upload movies and such, and Facebook integration and clan support, so you can all have your own little clans on there and stuff and organize events. Apparently there's going to be multiplayer tournaments done through the site, which will have real, like, you know, cash money prizes and stuff like this. Okay, great, cool. Is it worth, you know, what's probably going to be like a $40 or $50 a year asking price for what is essentially just a community web portal?
I don't think so.
Then you flip it over, and apparently Elite members also have access to all the DLC.
That's the good news.
That's the good news, yeah. $40 or $50 a year for what amounts to 2, maybe 3 map packs, which are overpriced to begin with. And add up to maybe $35.
That's bad.
That's bad. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know. It's...
Again, you're going to hold off being an indignant bastard until more info comes out.
Well, I mean, the Herdon info is pretty much out there. That's pretty much the gist of it. You know, they've showed it off in action and stuff. And it was a pretty humorous video. But, I don't know. I just, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's not quite the mainstream paid plan I was expecting. You know, it's not quite, you know, Call of Duty Online, which doesn't disappoint me in the slightest, because it shows me that, you know, maybe Activision didn't just go for the all-around rebel cash grab, you know. But at the same time, for what they're asking for in terms of a price,
when it's basically the Halo portal.
Yeah, it's basically Halo Waypoint. You know, it's got a lot of similarities and stuff to that. And I don't know, like, I mean, I think the real hardcore Call of Duty community, like, I know I've seen some of these hardcore guys who hop on these, I don't even know the names of some of the sites, but, you know, they have these, like, these pro gaming league sites that are set up, and they tell you what servers to jump into and all this kind of cram, and if you can perform, you win prizes and stuff like that, you know? Like, it seems like they're just kind of taking that whole underground hardcore Call of Duty player concept and making it legit. Which, hey, applaud, you know, fine. It's not for me. I'm not your target market, so be it. But, I don't know, I think I expected a little more ambition. But then again, this is Activision.
Exactly.
How do you feel about it?
Man, to me, it all depends on... The big one for me would be the DLC, right?
Yeah, getting your
maps. Whatever company gives you, you know... You pay up front. We're going to give you the DLC for a. You're going to save money in the long run. But what has the DLC been like for the past few Call of Duty? Basically, map packs.
Basically, I think, you know, I remember buying a few of them for Call of Duty 3 and actually being pleased with what I got. You know, like 6 maps for 800 points or whatever. But now it seems like you get 3 or 4 maps for like $12. You know, it seems like the price has gone up, but the content has gone down.
Now, I mean, if you're an absolute Call of Duty multiplayer nut, yes, you're going to salivate all over those maps.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if I'm going to be paying premium dollar, and I mean, let's face it, you know, if it's going to be $40 a year, that is premium dollar for an online gaming service.
Definitely.
You know, based around one franchise.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, if you got a 360 and you're paying for live on top of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're paying your $59.99 a year for live, plus, and I mean, let's face it, probably 60 to 75% of the Call of Duty Elite subscriber base are going to all be Xbox players.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, I mean, you're up nearing $100 right there.
Yeah, just to play Call of Duty.
Just to play Call of Duty. And you know, if the DLC is just map packs, I would be very, very, very disappointed.
And okay, again, to kind of flip the table on you again here, to like when you look at the finance, okay, $59.99 a year, $60 a year for Xbox Live, plus your 50 or whatever. We don't really know exactly how much Elite's going to cost, but it's going to be in that neighborhood for sure. So we're saying $90. How much does your average World of Warcraft player spend on game time every year? You know, $14 a month.
Yeah.
Times 12 months. Wow. So, you know, or if you're going like the 60-day prepaid card route, which is $30 a card, you know, for 2 months. So, you know, when you look at it.
Jesus Christ, that company's going to be hauling in money hand over fist.
Well, there's that side of it, but what you're paying for, you know, like, is it really, you know, that drastically different from people paying for, say, a WoW subscription or an Age of Conan subscription or an EverQuest subscription, you know? Like, is it really more or less of a ripoff, you know?
Not really, but I don't play MMOs.
Well, I mean, I dabble. I don't really play, but I dabble. And I just kind of look at, like, these guys take...
Steve?
What?
Are you mainlining heroin?
No.
Just wanted to know.
I think about, you know, okay, WoW players and how hardcore they are, and these guys spend a lot of time at their chosen passion. But are COD players any different? You know?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you're paying $50 for Elite and you're paying $60 for your Xbox Live account. It's not really a whole lot different than paying, you know, $150 to $200.
$60 or $70 for a game comes.
Plus, yeah, there you go. So really, at the end of the day, I guess everybody's kind of playing the same, and I guess, you know, we're all on the same playing field, I guess. So
I'm just going to keep playing Street Fighter.
Well, I like my Street Fighter. I like my Medal of Honor. I like my Battlefield Bad Company 2, you know. I like my SOCOM 4. I'm sure there's going to be more shooters for me where I don't have to worry about financial gain or financial loss, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. And I'll just play them on PlayStation so I don't have to pay $60. Was that?
I don't want grown up problems when I'm playing my
video. Yeah, you don't want to be balancing your checkbook while you're deciding how you're going to spend your time. You know? I got to balance my checkbook so I can make sure my COD is all looked after.
Pay your bills.
Got to pay your fees. Moving on, speaking of paying fees, John, what you been playing this week?
Oh, well, I continued a little bit further into L.A. Noire. You know, we gushed about that last week, so I'll keep it nice and short.
Okay.
You know, if you haven't picked it up yet.
What the hell is your problem?
What's wrong with you? Unless you're one of the few people who generally just cannot enjoy that type of game. In which case, we're cool.
In which case, what is wrong with you?
Enjoy your,
Peggle.
Yeah, enjoy your Peggle.
Enjoy your
Minecraft.
Your Minecraft or your COD.
Once I had a future, now all I have is Minecraft.
Anything else?
And I actually sat down, you know, despite being warned, and decided to review Brink.
Oh, Brink.
And I'm going to apologize for saying this. This is probably going to gross a few people out. If the team leader at Splash Damage or the head of Bethesda had instead shit in a game case, I would have been happier.
Well, it's like I said when I talked about it. I found it had redeeming qualities.
Oh, of course.
But none of them were in the gameplay department.
Yes, of course it has redeeming qualities. You know, my PS3 didn't explode when I put disc in.
Well, hey, that's good.
It's a redeeming quality. Like, you know, the things I like to do, okay, the setting is cool enough. I can get behind that stuff, right? You know, artificial floating city and, you know, two warring factions. I can get behind that. I can get behind the, you know, the art style looks like my old wrinkled issues of Heavy Metal I used to hide from my mom.
Or Time Splitters.
Yeah, or Time Splitters. I can get behind that. And the game structure itself, it's not that it's not solid. It's just, you know, it feels like first-person shooters we played on the Dreamcast.
It does feel a little dated.
Yeah, data's not, it's just stale.
It's pretty slow and sluggish.
Yeah, I mean, like, every other conceivable aspect of Brink is fumbled worse than a football in the hands of a Toronto Argonaut.
Oh, snap.
My father-in-law, if he listens to this, is going to kill me.
He doesn't listen to this.
No, he doesn't.
Do you listen to his show?
God, no. I listen to the classic rock one every now and again.
Oh, okay. Sure you do. What do you do? Go out and park under the overpass?
Steve, you can get the station on the interwebs.
Oh, you can get the station on the interwebs now?
Yes, you can.
Mun has discovered the internet?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
You know, so some of the students there are pretty young, I take it. They must have shown the stodgy old guard the internet.
They must have been a little savvy.
Yeah. But no, man, I just found, you know, it's a stale retread of every first-person shooter multiplayer mode from the early half of the last decade.
Right on.
I am now convinced that splash damage can make nothing other than enemy territory.
Yeah, it sounds about right with the whole single-player campaign that's actually just
bots.
Crappy bot matches masquerading as a single-player campaign.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty clever to throw in a couple cutscenes and everything to try to make it feel like a single-player campaign, but you know what would have been better?
And those cutscenes were pretty awesome.
You know what would have been better?
A single-player game.
Single-player campaign.
Yeah. You know, get some scripting languages out and...
Yeah.
You know, it can be linear, it can be scripted, it doesn't matter. Call of Duty gets by on linear and scripted.
It does quite well for its stuff.
It does. Killzone 2 and Killzone 3 both did very well for themselves on linear and scripted.
So there's nothing wrong with linear and scripted to me. It's ever since sandbox games became popular with GTA 3, suddenly linear became a dirty word. You know, Final Fantasy X doesn't have a world map. Gasp!
Oh, mercy. But then 12 made up for that.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, and 10 wasn't even a bad game.
10 was a great game.
You know, and I'm going to tell you something. When Bethesda announced a partner, I didn't even know what Splash Damage were. But when they announced they were trying to create a brand new IP, and it's a pretty gutsy move trying to launch an IP in the first-person shooter market these days.
It is. It really is.
To us today are what fighting game word was in the 90s.
Yeah, it's pretty much a one- or two-trick pony, you know?
Yeah, how many 2D fighters crashed and burned reaching for one lick of that brass ring left in the wake of Street Fighter? Right? In the 90s. Now how many of them are reaching for the brass ring that was left in the wake of Halo?
Yeah.
You know, it's a really gutsy move to do that, but, you know, they can't all be Borderlands.
No, and it seems almost to me, and I mean, I don't know how the internals of Splash Damage work. I don't know how they're set up. You know, I don't know how big of a studio they are and how nice or prestigious of a studio they are. I'm familiar with their past work, but it seems to me that they suffer from the same problem, the exact same problem that Chaos, which is one of THQ Studios, does. Chaos started life as a mod maker for Battlefield. They used to make Battlefield 2 maps or Battlefield maps.
Isn't that when the original Enemy Territory was a freeware multiplayer?
Yeah, it was just a mod for Quake.
Or for Wolfenstein.
Or for Wolfenstein, yeah. You know, but either way, you know, it was like one of those things where it's a studio that kind of grows out of, you know, like the indie scene, which is great, which I applaud. However, you know, it's very obvious when I sit down to play Homefront, and I look at the single-player campaign, and then I play the fantastic multiplayer, that multiplayer is where these guys are at. You know, these guys... The single-player game was there because it had to be, but the multiplayer game was where the joy was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of get the same vibe from Brink. Like these guys really sat down and designed a game to be played against human opponents.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, after the fact, they had to kind of try to squeeze a single-player campaign into that box. And, I mean, they did even less of an elegant job of it than the Homefront guys did. You know?
Dude, to me, it was worse than Shadowrun was.
Shadowrun was pretty bad.
But it's just, I realize, you know, it's unfair for me to say Bethesda should have thrown a bit more money into it to get us a proper single player
campaign. I'm sure Bethesda should have threw plenty of cash in there. I think time was more the issue.
Exactly. But I mean, you've got to take that time and you've got to spend that money when you're trying to create these new IPs.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even that the game is wholly unambitious. It is an ambitious product. You know, it is definitely an ambitious game.
It's just mediocre.
Yeah, and even, like, even, I find, I hate to say, that it's mediocre or that it sucks. I think it's a flawed execution. I think the ideas on paper, like that whiteboard, must have been awesome. That must have been like pants crappingly fantastic when you guys are all sat around the whiteboard throwing ideas at the wall, and when you take what's good and what's bad, you rule everything out, you get all the good stuff, and it's like, this game is going to be the greatest online shooter ever. And I definitely think that the potential for Brink to be that is there, but it's just the execution to me was botched, you know? The idea behind it, like a persistent online world with drop in and drop out, you know, like players dropping in and dropping out of their chosen factions, and just the parkour-inspired gameplay, the massive degrees of customization, like all of this stuff is fantastic. But, okay, number one, you used an old engine. You used the Doom 3 engine, which, you know, for what Brink needs to do is technically sound. But
who are you guys, Valve?
Yeah, you know, like, it is a technically sound engine for what Brink needs to achieve, but it's not something that's going to really, you know, like, wow people or push people. And for a first-person shooter to stand out these days, you really have to wow people. You have to push people, you know?
Yeah.
You have to have something to make people pick up the controller and actually play. And I think that's what's missing from Brink. And judging by what I'm told the state of the Xbox Live is right now, it's almost a ghost town. I don't think Brink really had much in the way of legs. Which is sad. I mean, I hate to see a game flop like that, but especially a game that came out strong, that came out swinging, you know? But
I never want to see an ambitious title fail.
Yeah. So there you go, Splash Damage. We love the art design. We love the look and feel. We love the concept. We just don't like the gameplay.
Well, but I'm not retracting my statement about the guts shitting in a game case.
No, you don't have to. I'm not asking you to. Have you played anything else?
No, not really. I played with the tablet a bit.
John's been playing with tablets.
Not those iPad tablets either.
He's been playing with tablets, which means that's why he sees a purple and pink unicorn that shoots rainbows out of its ass.
Have you been playing the demo for Red Faction Armageddon?
I have been. It was pretty cool. I've also been playing L.A. Noire, which is also, you know, pretty cool.
I think that's actually cool with the Red Faction.
Yeah, definitely. I have to say, though, it now has some competition for Game of the Year.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have taken the wraps off of, I have fired up the beast, and I have dug deep into The Witcher 2.
Dylan, you son of a witch!
It is phenomenal. It is an absolutely amazing, beautiful game. It is brutal. It does kind of forsake any kind of tutorial whatsoever in lieu of, like, basically grabbing you by the ankles and chucking you into the fray.
Here's the deep, bitch.
Yeah, here you go. Swim or die. And, it does a pretty awesome job of just...
Speaking of, they need to make a sequel to Skate or Die called Swim or Die.
But no, it does an amazing job of just really throwing you into a setting and really getting you interested, really getting you intrigued as to what's going on. The opening sequence took me probably about 2 hours to get through, maybe 2.5 hours. And every minute of it was absolutely awesome, like severely badass. And Geralt of Rivia is one of the coolest video game protagonists ever. The titular Witcher character, you know?
Yeah, any developers out there, any writers, any, you know, anyone who's interested in trying to craft something a little more clever than your typical rooting anti-hero, take a look at Geralt.
He is, he's a misfit, he's a mutant, he doesn't fit, but he's a character with an immense thirst for, like, justice and equality. He's, like, a morally sound character, which is great. He's not one of these typical, you know...
Which, I mean, it's something sadly lacking in fantasy these days.
Yeah, he is the greatest combination of, you know, video game badass and moral upstanding character. He is really like the culmination of about four different video game archetypes into one seamless blend, and that makes him that much more interesting. And
that part I saw the other night when you were speaking with the really cool looking elf with the his bandana over one eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy's blind in one eye, yeah, and he, you know, he started going on about with his racial tirade, and then, you know, when Geralt shoots back with the, you know, the whole the only reason you're standing here is because somebody more important and more powerful than you told you to.
Yeah, yeah,
dude, he shut the hell up after that.
He did, and I mean, and that's another thing. Like, the dialogue sequences are fantastic. The language is used brilliantly, wonderfully written, and what's that, sir?
Great accents.
Really great accents, you know, great, solid, not just a bunch of stock European character actors. They use some real class voice acting there, and on top of all that, it is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. It is a beautiful game. It's
so, Will It Run Crisis has now become Will It Run The Witcher 2?
Possible. I mean, my desktop can handle it on high settings. It'll run it on ultra high, but it's not as smooth. Like, it you do get a fair bit of motion blur and stuff, and it kind of becomes disorienting. It's playable, and I'm sure there are people who would suffer through it, but I'd rather set it on high and still get the pretty looking graphics, but keep, like, you know, a stable high end frame rate that remains entirely playable throughout, right? And it's just, you need to play, you need a machine that'll run it, because the art design is just so goddamn beautiful. And as much as I love BioWare, as much as I consider BioWare probably my favorite video game developer out there, you guys really need to take a look at what CD Projekt Red is doing. And you really need to learn a lesson or two. And that's humbling. That's like, this is a small Polish developer who have only ever really done one other game, and this thing, just in terms of RPG mechanics and how they handle morality and choices, like, it annihilates anything else in the field. Anything. Extremely well done. Highly applaud them. 10 out of 10.
5 out of 5?
5 out of 5. 2 thumbs up.
6 out of 6?
6 out of 6. 110%.
70 out of
70. Phenomenal game. Definitely strong contender for game of the year. Definitely. And above all else, it's a goddamn PC game. We're talking about a PC game. I don't remember the last time I have...
360.
Which I did play with a 360 controller. And which plays extremely well with a 360 controller. In fact, I would...
So yeah, WASD players, suck it.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say, if you do decide that you have a rig capable of running this beast, and you do want to play it, go track down a wired 360 controller.
It's a 3D action RPG.
It is. It really is. It's been said a number of times that they took influence in the combat from Demon's Souls. They have. You know, it's very active combat. It's very much based around control of the camera, control of your character with the other analog stick.
Demon's Souls with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, try just think about that and have disturbing dreams. More disturbing dreams.
What was the website? Prepare to die.
PrepareToDie.com. PrepareToDieRepeatedly.com should be what it was. But, you know, amazing game. Absolutely amazing. And according to some circles, some little whispers, we may be seeing a console announcement at E3.
That'd be big news.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Xbox 360 in the fall.
Well, it might not be huge news at first, but, you know, eventually it'll build steam. People will be like, hey, this actually looks kind of good.
If they show up at the Microsoft press conference, show a trailer for that game, it's money in the bank. It's a million seller.
And you want to know something? That's something that Microsoft really needs.
Yeah, that's something Microsoft really should do. I really think that they should approach these guys if they haven't already. And if this game does exist in a playable form on Xbox 360, that should be one of their little headliners at the E3 press conference. It is every bit as good of a game as Mass Effect 2 was for Microsoft last year. So, there it is.
Anything else?
The only other new thing on my plate is Hunted, the Demon's Forge.
Been looking forward to that one for a while, actually.
I've been, that one, I think, way back in maybe sometime last year. We were talking about upcoming games or games for 2011 that we were really looking forward to.
No, myself and Dave were quite excited with it because, you know, it looked like Diablo for the Gears generation.
Yeah. I know it was one that I kind of name dropped back then and everybody was kind of like, oh, huh? And it was shortly after it was announced. And I got to say, so far, it's held up really well for me. It's living up. I'm really enjoying what I've done with it so far.
So is it as action-packed as
I'm... Yeah, it's pretty action-packed. It doesn't entirely feel like Gears of War, which I like. I was really kind of half expecting, you know, a Gears clone, like Gears with a medieval coat of paint, and it's not that. It really does feel more like a, you know, like a third-person hack-and-slasher type of thing. It does feel quite nice to control. Looks pretty good, you know, it looks Unreal 3-ish, which... for all intents and purposes, is fine. You know, it's competent. It gets the job done. There's some ugly bits here and there, but I attribute that more to the art design than to the game itself because it's got this real kind of gritty, dark look, which I'm liking. I'm really digging. And the mechanics are sound. You know, it's pretty solid. There's a fair bit of depth in there compared to, like, you know, stuff like Clash of the Titans or one of these retarded third-person hack and slashers. You know, it's got, like, a cool character level-up system, you know. That kind of stuff. You can upgrade your characters. You can pick up different gear. I'm pleased. I'm really pleased so far. And I was expecting a game that I would enjoy, but I was expecting a game like The First Templar, a game that was built for me and that I'd have hesitation recommending to other people, you know, like a 6 game or a 6.5 or a 7 game. Whereas what I got is definitely probably, you know, a 7.5 or an 8.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Unless it completely pisses itself in the final, you know, hour or two. I gotta say, strong thumbs up from me.
I rented that one, so I'm looking forward to playing that possibly tomorrow.
Co-op.
There we go. Oh, do I have to be the archer?
I think you can switch at various points in the game when you're playing co-op. I know when you're playing the single player, you get to these little purple glowing fountain dooflickies, and when you click on them, you can switch back and forth between characters.
Like, I don't have any problem playing as the archer.
What I thought was really cool about it, actually, is they both complement each other. You know, like, so, okay, you've got your elven archer bitch, but she can also sheath her bow and pull a sword.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, like, the big burly man, Kadok, I think his name is, can sheath his bastard sword and pull out a crossbow. So, it works really well. I gotta say, I'm very pleased with what I've played so far.
Sweet.
And it seems like...
I was really pleased with that last trailer when they started showing slow-mo headshots and people exploding into gelatin and meat.
it feels, you know, like it's not, you know, a AAA product. I can't lie there. You know, I can't say that, oh, it's AAA production values and it's, you know, on par with the best stuff coming out this year. It's not. It's not even remotely a contender for Game of the Year or Top 5 of the Year or anything like this. But... it's a strong, like, it's built on a strong foundation, and it's built by a bunch of guys who covered their bases. You know, they really kind of thought about what they wanted to see and what would work, and they really executed it to the best of their ability, unlike, say, Brink.
Man, we're going to just keep knifing that corpse.
On that note, that's it for me. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, not entirely, actually.
No? Okay, well, moving into the final section of our show, you know, the typical old ambush thing. And I remember doing this last year, and I thought it was kind of cool. So I thought, why not? You know, we're getting into June. We're crawling up on the midway point of 2011. Best game from the first half of the year, John?
Best game for the first half of the year?
Yeah, what's been your favorite title? And, I mean, L.A. Noire, I know, is an easy choice, but...
See, I'm not going to jump the gun on L.A. Noire. Yeah. A few hours into it yet, and I'd really like to savor that one, but so far the one I've had the most fun with this year actually, no, I can't say Hot Pursuit because that came out last year.
It did.
Wow. I only got to play it in the new year because of, you know, the wife having the baby and everything. And
yeah.
Me living in a hospital for a week.
Fun times.
And I'd say the one I've actually had the most fun with so far this year, I got to give props to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah?
I really do, you know. Especially as harsh as I was when that was first announced and all the months leading up to it, and, you know, making fun of how they made a 3D MK2 and, you know, saying this is not what you do in the wake of Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, yeah.
I really got to give credit where credit is due. NetherRealm knocked that one out of the park.
It was a pretty great achievement, I got to say.
It was a ridiculously great achievement.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Maybe one of my warm and tingly gaming moments of the year so far when we were at game night over at your place when, you know, nobody, I was the only other person in the room who had ever played it, and watching everyone else's disgusting reaction to you know, he blew Baraka's head off and you could see the tongue.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, just moments like that. And like, I know you were out in the other room fixing the computer at the time, but I'm sure you could hear everyone like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I could.
Whenever an X-ray or a fatality was used.
Yeah. It's a good choice. It's an inspired choice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn between a few. But I don't want to go the L.A. Noire or the Witcher 2 route because they're too fresh. They're too, you know, I've only had about a week with each of them, so I can't really do that.
It's kind of the same as whenever the game of the year has come out at the end of the year, and you know, all guys are all sitting around going, how many of these games came out? Right?
Yeah.
Everyone forgets about the stuff from early in the year.
Except for last year, where the game that deserved it all took it all.
I was amazed when everyone remembered Red Dead Redemption and Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, me too. I was immensely happy. Because last year, when you look back on it, there was a lot of stuff I enjoyed last year, but it wasn't a great year.
No, it wasn't anything like the year before.
Yeah, and now I think this year is kind of shaken up to be more of a great year. There haven't been a lot of disappointments and letdowns so far the year, you know? With that said, I gotta go. I'm tearing it two ways, actually, because I love them both. They're like my children, and I don't want to pick between them. Two first-person shooters. I'm going with Killzone 3 and Crysis 2.
Booyah.
Because both games are just freaking amazing, amazing first-person shooters. Like, some of the best to have come out in a very long time. Like, not months, but years, you know?
Nicely done, cinematic.
Yeah, really like pleasurable experiences that unfold in a really deliberate manner. You don't finish them overnight. There's no big, crazy Michael Bay moments that just pull you out of the action. You know, the games are just nonstop fun. They really, like, they're really well put together. Really.
That's not to say that the other one is lacking explosions.
Oh, there's great set pieces, and there's tons of explosions, but it's all thoughtful. None of it is ever, you know, none of it ever feels like an excuse to blow something up. It all feels, you know, pretty well thought out. The single-player campaigns are brilliantly paced.
We're also contractually obligated to remind you that Killzone 3 has a boss fight against a walking tank the size of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Which was stunning.
Building.
Yeah, I have to go with both of those.
Nice.
I can't really choose between the two.
Those are good choices.
For the rest of 2011... what are you most looking forward to?
What am I most looking forward to?
Yeah, what one game is really like, can you absolutely not wait to sink those freaking claws into? What game do you really wish it was being released tomorrow, just so you could finally sit down and play the living hell out of it?
Oh god, that's a difficult choice, man, because I got Arkham City and Uncharted 3 coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm probably gonna go with Arkham City.
Yeah.
Dude, I freaking love Batman.
This is true. This is true.
You know. And like, I just can't wait to play through the entire game upside down. Like, if I were Batman, I'd be eating a sandwich upside down.
That would be gross. Would that even work?
It'd work if you're Batman.
I guess. Yeah, you make it where you muscle it down.
Exactly. having difficulty muscling it down, but God damn it, he's going to do it because his parents are dead. Criminals are a cowardly and superstitious lot. Oh, this is hard. It's the abdominal muscle it takes to do that.
That's pretty scary.
No wonder, you know, he can get punched repeatedly in the stomach by Bane and still get up.
I'm gonna bypass the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Even though it is the obvious answer. We all know that Steve is looking forward to Skyrim. We all know that Steve is not going to see his wife and family for an inordinate number of months after Skyrim ships.
I'm hoping that when Skyrim comes out, you know, they finally find you down the basement, you're going to get the Viking beard. If you don't emerge from that game with a Conan O'Brien beard, there's something.
No, I will probably actually immediately after August start growing my Skyrim beard so that I've got a nice Nordic facial growth by the time Skyrim actually does release.
You don't come out of the basement looking like Howard Hughes.
And then when I go to pick it up, I'll be talking like, you know, is there for the
hoote? They say no.
I
just don't have the game in yet, so you know you come out and throw the manager's head out in the parking lot.
Yeah. All the other guys will be set up behind the barricades at the local Walmart, and I'll run out and chuck a head. He says no, it's not here yet.
Swinging a bucket on a length of rope over your head.
But yeah, no, Skyrim is the obvious choice, but I'm gonna sidestep Skyrim, and I'm going to throw out Dark Souls.
I forgot about Dark Souls.
Oh, I couldn't possibly forget about Dark Souls.
It's after making the preparetodie.com.
Yeah, really. Preparetodierepeatedlyandhorribly.com.
Preparetodiewithakeyboardshovedupyourass.com.
Yeah, there we go. Dark Souls, man. The only thing I hope is that no sacrifices have been made in the crossover to multi-platform and Namco Bandai, which kind of makes me shudder.
They did Team Ninja.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I don't entirely blame them for that.
Can't believe I just compared Team Ninja to Ninja Theory.
Oh, why would you do that?
That's not me saying I like Team Ninja, guys. It's just, you know, not as cool as Ninja Theory.
Yeah, no, I don't entirely blame Namco Bandai. I kind of, you know, with Enslaved, there was definitely something going on behind the scenes there, whether it was unfamiliarity with Unreal 3, I don't know, but there was something happened there that kind of...
Oh, dude, I'm still just upset, you know, that the friggin' title screen wasn't as creative as Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, you know.
What upset me the most is Enslaved had the potential for that stuff.
Yeah, it did. It did. I think a lot of Enslaved's problem was it didn't have Sony money behind it.
Yeah.
And I know that was a big thing with Sony and like with a lot of their first party titles. I know Amy Hennig said it about Sony that basically they're not afraid to spend a bit of money. Yeah. You know, on to make sure they get the title that they want. And I think that had a lot to do with it. Maybe, I don't know, I couldn't say what went on behind the scenes, I couldn't tell you. But I know basically that when Enslaved did become a reality, I know there were things like Ninja Theory wasn't allowed to use any of the technology they used for Heavenly Sword and that sort of thing. There were a few limiting factors there. So that could be a lot of it too. They may have had to rebuild the entire game in a new engine, you know.
But hey, I'm still excited about DMC.
I'm very excited about DMC, I definitely am. I don't understand all of this blind hatred towards the game because they went and rebooted it. Gasp, no, because Capcom's never rebooted anything in their lives. Buying a commando, you know?
It's just nerd rage, man.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me crazy. But yeah, give me Dark Souls. Give me Dark Souls. I'm all over that. I have faith in From Software. I have faith in the creators of Demon's Souls to make another kick-ass game. And I'll be there day one, and I'll probably be flinging controllers. On that note, we shall leave you to sit back and...
Leave you as you left her.
Buried alive. But yeah, we will be back, I'm sure. Maybe next week, maybe not next week. I think we should probably try to plan something at least a little special for our 100th episode, Spectacular Extravaganza, Smorgasbord.
Yeah. especially since it's going to be right after E3.
It is going to be right after E3. Serendipitous? Maybe.
Or maybe we just planned this shit out perfect.
Maybe this is the way we planned it all along.
There's a plan in everything, kid.
And I love it when a plan comes together.
You know what's awesome?
What's that?
If one of us gets to say that at the 100th episode, I've even got a cigar right here I can sparkle.
But no one will know. It's radio.
Okay. Maybe. No, never mind. I'll use it with him. So everyone can see that I dyed my hair even more gray.
There you go.
Joking about gray hair. Who do I think I am, Brian?
Yeah, really. Come on now. That reminds me. Damn. I totally forgot. I did promise one String Vulture, a.k.a. Dan Moore, that I would make an announcement on this podcast.
Okay.
Apparently last week we made it sound like all he ever does is play video games, and that is not true. That is a falsehood.
Okay.
Dan is also a brilliant guitarist and musician who...
Lead guitarist for?
A little hard rock heavy metal outfit called the Wizards of Chaos.
Formerly the lead guitarist of Chevy.
Formerly the lead guitarist, rhythm guitarist, and chief songwriter for founding member and chief songwriter of a, hard rock 70s revival act called Chevy. So, you know, Dan's a hardworking dude. He plays a lot of music and he does, like, some graphic design work and painting and stuff, all to pay for his out-of-control video game habit.
Designers like me want to grow up to be.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, he's a cool cat. He's a good dude. He wrote our theme music. He's writing more theme music for us, which I'm sure he'll get to eventually. But hey,
is your website? The walk-in website?
Wizardsofchaos.com.
That's spelled with a K, by the way.
With a K. Wizards of Chaos with a K.com. Go check it out. Go listen to some sound clips. They're pretty awesome. They are a metal band.
We all know that us nerds love our metal.
For sure.
It's not metal like Stradivarius, I wouldn't insult
it. Oh my god. Come on now. It's very much in the same vein as, you know, like Alice in Chains, Metallica. It's old school metal.
You better like your Doom, because he's bringing a lot of it.
There you go. So with that out of the way, we will leave you. And we will...
the Pixel Verdict theme.
What's that?
With Mr. Moore's brilliant blast processing theme.
With Mr. Moore's brilliant blast processing theme. We will be back next week when we will talk about all of the shocking revelations that came out of E3 this year. Or the lack thereof. Until next time. Peace.